All right.
Welcome. Okay, thank you, Ropus. All right. Thank you all for joining us today to our career conversation. We have Jorge Ochoa, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Long Beach College. So we're going to talk about plant biology, field botany, and more. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me and giving me the opportunity to share with me my passion.
So just to get us started, could you talk a little about the path you took to get here, different careers, college, internship, what have you?
So my path is interesting. So I grew up in South Central Los Angeles, and I graduated from Thomas Jefferson High. I'm not going to say the year, because I'm not going to age myself. And from Thomas Jefferson, I attended Los Angeles Trade Technical College. During that period, I had no idea what I wanted to study. I knew I did not want it to be. I did not want it to be a philosopher, an actor, a doctor, a scientist, or mechanic, or none of those. But I have no idea where life was going to take me. So I finished my associate degree in liberal arts, just took general biology, general math, general everything. And I started looking around, and then I found a class at Long Beach City College that taught about poisonous and edible plants. So destiny took me there, and once that happened, then I discovered horticulture that was also being offered at Long Beach City College. Once I found horticulture, I knew where I wanted to be. Immediately I said, I'm going to go to Cal Poly Pomona because that's where they have the bachelor's and the master's degree. And so from there, it just took off. As far as internship, right after I graduated from Long Beach City College with an associate's in horticulture, I did an internship at the Los Angeles County Arboretum in Arcadia. And then a year later, I did an internship for one of the largest nurseries, Monrovia Nursery, that was located in Azusa. That also became my senior project for school. And then once I graduated, then I did an internship for the City of Los Angeles Department of Recreation and Parks. I did a park management internship. And from there, then I got picked up as a full-time employee. And then opportunity opened at Long Beach City College for a full-time professor teaching horticulture, and I applied, and I got the job. So I've been teaching full-time since 2009 now.
Thank you. And at your present Long Beach College, mm-hmm. are there internships or apprenticeships for those studying with you or high schoolers?
So that's kind of what I do now. So we work with different groups. We work with different organizations that offer scholarships and internship to students, potential students who are entering the field. So the Arboretum still offers internships. There's the California Landscape Association that also offers internships, other botanic gardens that offer internships. And so we're always looking and or developing, working with them to develop internship or some kind of training program for students.
Okay, thank you. And I know your days are very different. What kind of is a typical week?
So I can describe my typical week right now. So as a professor of horticulture, I teach Monday through Friday mornings. My classes begin at 9 in the morning. And the other rest of the courses are going to be more in the afternoon, evening, starting at about 5 and ending about 8. And the reason for that is because in this field, you have either adults who are returning for a second career, or they're already working in the field. And so I cannot start them too early because they're working, and I cannot end them too late because they need to go to sleep and go to work, get up early tomorrow, the next day. So it is a morning job, unless if you happen to find a job with Disneyland, then your typical work schedule in the garden or the maintenance would be from 2 in the morning to 10. But pretty much it's for most folks who are in the field, they will begin the day at about 6 in the morning or even early to avoid traffic problems. But sorry, it's a morning and an early job.
Okay, thank you. I know you brought us some really great looking photos. Would you like to go through them?
I will glad to go to several of them. So I think I can share with you something very important. I think when I started, when I was seeking a career, again, I had no idea. And I'm glad that I'm in the library, and I'm glad you're in the library, because one of the nicest things that showed me the way was a book. And this photograph was given to me by the college when I became tenured. So they asked us to share with them a book that would be, that had a good influence in your life. And so for me, it was finding this group of plants. So finding those group of plants. Once I found them, that opened my way into plant exploration. And so I have visited Mexico, southern Mexico. There I am in front of a very large tree. So in my plant exploration, looking for different types of passion flowers, I have visited Brazil, I have visited Ecuador, French Guiana, Suriname twice, Colombia twice, Ecuador, Mexico, Central America, Uruguay, Argentina. And so we are always looking for new plants, exploring plants. I've also become an expert in fruits, so I go around and teach people about different types of fruit, exotic fruits, regular fruits, and try different apples. There I am in my first trip to Brazil holding a wild vanilla plant. So that is something that I had no idea that was even possible, to just become a plant explorer, as they would say, an Indiana Jones, Jones of plants. Every year I try to go somewhere into Central and South America, preferably looking for some of those flowers. And I can also share with you that last year we were able to publish a brand new species. So a brand new species of passion flower that I'm one of the authors of it. And so something new to science, something that you just go out there, you find it, and you catalog it, you record it, you publish it, and it's there for the rest of your life. You are the publisher or the author of some of those new plants. So there's a lot of things to be found in this world. And so we're exploring, looking for them. And as time went by, I've somehow become an expert in the field of this group of plants. So again, it's something that I had no idea that was possible. And it's a book that taught me that follow this path, and I did. And it has taken me to many parts of the world. Next January, we're gonna be going to Peru, and eventually we'll be visiting every single country in Central and South America, looking for them.
Do you get to name them when you discover them?
If you describe them, yes, you have the option of naming them.
Did you have a particular name of any of them?
There's rules. So the one that we describe is very different than all the other ones. And so we chose the name Intricata, which means intricate, or often their name after where you found them, like near a vicinity or a town or a city. Or it's not proper for me to name them after myself, but if one of my students ever becomes an explorer and they wish to name a plant that they discover in honor of their favorite professor, then that's possible. But I cannot name one after myself, or I can name it after somebody else, but not myself.
Okay, that makes sense. Any questions from the audience so far? So far, do you let me walk on over. Thank you.
When discovering like these new plant species, what's the process of getting it like officialized? Like, are there DNA tests that have to be run and things like that?
Very good question, and the answer is yes. So Every single plant, every single animal, every single organism in the world has its experts. And so I work with the experts of this plant group. And I'm also very familiar with the ones that have been described. So when we see something different, it's like, okay, this could be new. And then we share it with the experts, and we look at all the different discoveries that have been made, the records, and then if it's different or if there's characteristics that makes it different, then yes, it goes into the public, into publication. This specific species was discovered in cooperation with several scientists from Kansas and Missouri. They got a National Science Foundation grant to do the genetic analysis on this group of passion flowers. And so in this case, there was that publication first and then the publication of new species. So yes, the genetic was done to place it into the specific group or where it fell. And then that is also now part of the record. So yes, the genetic analysis are now required, as well as the drawings and the recording. So when we got the plant, my job as a horticulturist who is an expert in cultivation was to get it to flower. And so it flowered very early for me, so I was very lucky. So once it flowered, then I was able to take measurements, record the information, the data, and then I was able to create an herbarium specimen, which is a piece of dry plant. And that became the type specimen, which means the very first recording of that plant. And that's written in the article. So that very first plant that ever gets collected, gets recorded, that becomes a type specimen, which means that this is the official one. And then when somebody finds a different plant, if it might look similar, they always go back to that specimen to compare them and see if it might be different, might be the same, and or just to verify that it might be something new. So it's a very extensive process, and yes, you have to make sure that it's something new, otherwise people would be publishing things that might be just slightly different and maybe a little bit, or maybe not.
What kind of technology do you have to know for your career?
For my field, technology, I will be very honest. I grew up when computers were becoming very popular, and I'm going to be very honest. And computer programming is one of the two classes that I failed in high school. I could never get into technology. I was always an outdoor person. I was always an outdoor field person, plant person. However, it is inevitable that we're going to use technology. So we do. I know how to use computers. Different program like Canvas that we use as a learning management system for the college, because that is now my my job. I use a lot more technology with the photographs. So I have a camera that's an Olympus camera, and then also a microscope with a camera, a digital microscope that also records video. So I'm not a technology expert, but I there is just a few equipments that are required. I am not a molecular scientist. I always say that I like working with plants. I don't like working with molecules. So I like to be with the plants and caring for them, not taking care of them in a petri dish and in a lab where it's all clean and autoclaves and all of those flow laminar hoods and a bunch of other technology. So I'm more of a field type person, field botanist, horticulturist, cultivator. So we take care of plants. We don't kill them in the lab.
Thank you. Any questions so far? Any other questions? I'll keep going. Okay. Did you want to continue with the slides, or I have more questions?
Sure. So that's one of the works. Another work that I did when I was with Recreation and Parks in 2007, Griffith Park went on the fire. It was a big fire. So we did some work on the plants and how the plant and the park was recovering. And so now I have become an expert in Griffith Park. So I am the botanist, the plant person for Griffith Park. I do field trips. I do hikes with the Friends of Griffith Park. And I go around lecturing about the recovery and the plants and California native wildflowers of Griffith Park. So that is what photography that we have there. I'm also a tree expert. here I am. Standing in front of one of the tallest Montezuma cypress. To record, I have photographed of myself with the oldest trees in the world, the Jeffrey Pine or Bristlecone Pines here in California, the most massive, the giant sequoias, and the tallest, which are the California redwoods. So I have my photograph with those magnificent specimens. I also go around teaching and lecturing about the tree safety and care and for trees. So I'm also a tree expert. There I am with my students. So I also teach to share with people my knowledge. In my work with the recreation and parks, that's of Griffith Park. I've also gone to other parts of the world. So that's there I am standing underneath a baobab. This is in South Africa, so other parts of the world. I work with people from different parts of the world. So these are folks that have a similar interest. In this case, is looking for those passion flower. So we have John Vanderplank, the author of that book from England. Robert McFay, he's from Netherlands. Rebecca just got her master's in botany in England. So she's from England. Alexi is a scientist from Russia. And I forget her name, but she's from England. Sula Vanderplank, she's working in San Diego, and there I am. So it's a collaboration of folks from different parts of the world, and I would have never guessed that I would be working with people from different parts of the world, but there I am. So here's just a typical day in the rainforest, looking for plants, try to find them, innocent amongst the different vegetation, and I love rain, so anytime I can get wet, I enjoy getting wet. There I am in just my horticulture area with the different plants and passion flowers that I grow. There I am, and just being recorded by a newscaster a while back. Just some of the lab area, so I have the best job. This is where I report to work every single day. So now we grow vegetables with the students. We grow fruits. We take care of plants. Sometimes we have to cut them down, no problem. Sometimes we have to rake, no problem. Sometimes we have to plant, no problem. And we do outreach, so just go to different conventions, different trade shows, and share with people and try to recruit them for horticulture. I've done seminars and or workshops for different community groups very early on. I don't want to listen to myself back in those days, but this is me talking to the Los Angeles Garden Club and Friends of Griffith Park, from Griffith Park. And I get to go to graduations, because that's part of my job. And I've been also featured as far as the newspaper for the recovery of Griffith Park. So those are just a few of the things that I brought here to share with you. So I would describe myself as a plantsman, and anything and everything that has to do with plants, that's what I like. But what I always tell my students, if you look at the history of people, the history of people is the history of plant cultivation, and that's horticulture. The history of medicine is the history of plant cultivation. And all the history that have, all the history of people, if you go back to the historical archives, there are plants that has influenced us all the way here, and they're still influencing us, from what we eat to spice, looking for spices that Christopher Columbus then discovered America or came to America, to the opium wars and even war with drugs today. Those are all plants. Now we have GMOs that are bringing a different equation into our history, but the history of plant cultivation is the history of people. And I tell them, you are now part of something that is way over here, and it's something that got us to where we are right now. Sitting in the library, this all came because of plants. So it's It's amazing, and I love every single aspect of it.
Thank you. That was great. Any questions before I? Yes. All right.
I don't know if you already addressed this, but what is your like daily, your regular routine or day to day basis at your job? Are you just taking care of plants? Are you taking statistics?
I wish. So it changes with every semester because it depends on when I'm scheduled with my class. So let's say tomorrow Sunday, Monday, I have a class from 9 to 11. So from 9 to 11, I'm going to be engaged with the student in the classroom. And then from 11 to 12, then I'll have office hours. Then I can address individual student concerns and needs. And then I can go in the gardens and work with the students. So they have different projects and they have questions. And some of them are growing different types of plants. I have a student from Peru who's growing Peruvian peppers, which are unusual here. And so then I work with them and water plants, and then I can also take care of the passion flowers. And then by 5 o'clock, that's when my second class begins. So then I'll go back to the classroom, and that ends at about 7:30. So that's my, that would be my Monday and now Wednesday. My Tuesday, Thursday begins at 9 a.m. with a class, also plant propagation this semester. Goes from 9 a.m. to 12, and after 12, then I spend time in the garden with the students. Friday, I have a class from 9 to 12, and then I spend it with the garden, in the garden, or at some Fridays I have to attend meetings. So there's going to be some meetings that I will need to attend. But that would be a probably a summary of the things that I do on a weekly basis right now, this semester. So it will change next semester with a whole different grouping of students and classes that might be scheduled at a different time.
Thank you. And I can tell, obviously, with all the trips, it's very collaborative. How do you keep your relationship strong with all these people around the world?
Internet. So we have our own I'm not going to say a chat group, WhatsApp. So our own WhatsApp group, so that if when we're finding different things or when we're getting some of the plants to flower, then we share photographs with them. There's that. And also a lot of them belong to what is known as the Passion Flower Society International. So the group of experts that have the same interest. And so we cooperate to kind of continue on this work because we are kind of like the ones who need to continue on the work with the passion flowers and record them and new hybrids and all that. So it's throughout the year we kind of keep in contact through social medias and are just talking to each other through WhatsApp as we are planning the trips. And on some years it might be just one or two, on some years it might be the whole group. Or it also depends on where they might want to visit. So some of them have also their specific areas in South America where they would like to go visit. But if we're planning a trip somewhere else, then they might say, oh, not this year, maybe next year. But we'll continue on. And so that's how it's easy for people now to communicate and just talk to them overnight or get on the phone and say, okay, what's happening over there? It's free and it's in the worldwide. Everybody in Central and South America, they use them. And then I also have another WhatsApp with South Americans who grow passion fruit, so the fruit. And so I get news and information about maybe problems that they're dealing in the cultivation of the passion fruits, or if they're is somebody who's looking to buy tons of passion fruit, then we kind of share information about what's happening with the passion fruit industry that's different from the passion flower. So, but it's all related because it's just one plant.
Thank you. Any questions before I keep going? All right, I like to check in. So would this career be good for introverts and extroverts, or what do you think?
The answer is yes. I'm introvert, believe it or not. Yes, I am. I get a lot of students who do not like to deal with people, but they're very artistic and they are very good at what they do, but they just don't want to deal with people a lot. And so this gives them the opportunity to design something and install them and just deal with one person, one customer, and then move on. So the answer is yes, you can be an introvert, like plants, like hanging around plants, don't like to talk to people. This could be a field. Or the opposite, if you are extrovert and you like to be around lots of people, there's always the retail field, there's always the marketing and selling, and there's also a education, believe it or not, through the California Teachers Association and also through the California Agriculture Teachers Association. There is a big need for teachers to teach agriculture. So, and then there's also communication degrees that are tied to agriculture, so that as people go out there and sell or market things and business can also be important. So that's probably one of the biggest surprises that I realized later on, how broad this field can be. I know that I am in horticulture, but horticulture is just a small fraction of the field of agriculture, which is where we fall under. And so the field of agriculture has everything from animals to veterinary to grains to fruits to fish and through education. And so it's gigantic. And so I am sure that there is a place for everybody, whether it's extrovert or introvert. I have students who's like, okay, I just want to see, because I want to go more into taking care of horses. Perfect, that's this path right here. I want to go and work in a botanic garden, just deal with plants that are from different parts of the world. Okay, then that's this path right here. Or some who's just, I want to just take care of plants inside hotels. That's interior scape. That's this path right here.
So it's also good for people who love the topic but don't want to be outside.
Yes. 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 And older adults, because I do get a lot of older adults who have been in a field that they might not be too happy with, or they're getting ready to retire and they would like to have some supplemental income or just a way of being out there. So this can also work for an older adult who's looking for changing careers or an extra career.
Oh, thank you. And what's the employment outlook for your field, and how much demand do you have for entry level?
I'm gonna say if you see a plant, somebody needs to take care of it. That would be number one. Another question that I always get asked, is there going to be a job in this field in the future? And my answer is, can you stop eating? Probably not. So the answer is yes, there is high demand, because at the end of the day, California is an agriculture state. So the economy for California rely on agriculture production, different fields, different crops, from ornamental to all the carrots to the world. So the job outlook is great, especially because there's not a lot of folks saturating the field. Unlike computers, I'm not gonna bash computers, but the computer field has been oversaturated. And so because everybody was pushed to computers. Agriculture has been, I'm gonna say neglected, but has been overlooked. So I do have a handout that I can share with you. It's done by the state of California from within cooperation with the California Agriculture Teachers Associations, and it lists kind of salaries and tips, as well as the different degrees that you might be able to get in, or what are some of the fields or the type of jobs that you as an idea that you can carry out in this, in some of this field. So there's entry-level job in maintenance, there's entry-level jobs in the different fields, and then if I bring some examples of my students, I have students who would complete the program, and they like trees. So then they would apply to take the certified arborist. So then they become a certified arborist. Now they can promote to be more of a expert on trees and care for trees. And then, or I have students who like the landscape, and so they take their landscape contractor license, and now they can enter more of the bigger landscape institution. I have other students who might like to take care of a golf course or parks, and it may be required for them to take a pesticide applicator license because there's gonna be pest problems in everything. And so that can send them in a good path. So there's, like every other job, there's different licenses, certifications, and the more that you achieve, the more sought after and more valuable you're gonna become. So it deals just from an entry level maintenance person to a big supervisor of a golf course to even working with the Department of Agriculture. So I'll pass those if anybody's interested, and I'll leave the rest if you want first an idea for anybody else who might ask.
That would be great. Thank you. So do you find that your students stay in California or do they go to different places? Because you're around the world.
I wish I could keep track of them. It's everything. Many of them like California and they do settle here. I have students who have finished the program and they transferred to a university in the Eastern United States. I have other students who have gotten moved back home and now they're able to work in a botanic garden in their area, which they never thought of. So I'm going to say a very good number stays locally, but there's going to be the ones that decide to either move Northern California or South or East. And I've had some students who were here visiting or on a visa, and then they go back home. So I got students who went back to Poland or then went to Australia and went into South America, and they just went back home.
Thank you. And this question always comes up with our career conversations, but I feel like you've already answered it, but how's diversity in the workplace? I mean, it seems like your teams, you work with a lot of different backgrounds, but.
Let's see. I actually have this data somewhere, not here. So diversity, I think right now I can say that this field has gone through some changes. I think in the 30s, 40s, it was predominantly a Japanese field. So Japanese engaged in a lot of this horticulture. And then later on, it was Vietnamese, and then later on it became more of a Hispanic. If I just look at the makeup of my students, the ones that are attending my classes, I'm gonna say it's about 60% females. I'm gonna also say the average age is over 30. And females followed by Hispanics, and then by white, and a very low percentage of African-American and a low percentage of Asian-Americans. So that would be the makeup, and I know I can find it because that information is given to us by the college. But it's mainly females, in the field. I don't know why, but that's the makeup of this field.
Thank you. Okay. Are full-time or in-house positions offered as well as freelance positions in this career? Like, can you be a freelancer that just travels all the time?
We call them consultants. The answer is yes. There are many consultants in different fields. So like part of the certified arborist, you can be an arborist consultant. So when there is a litigation, then you go and investigate what has happened and then submit a report to either pro or con or against. I get asked many times if I would like to be an advisor. I'm gonna say right now I have not really engaged in that because of my time.
You're
I'm a little busy. But not too long ago, I was asked by Disney, an executive from Disney Imagineering Department. She was trying to write a book, and she asked if I would help out with that. And it just never got there because I got busy with my college. But yes, there are consultant types either in designing landscapes. So designing when Disney is going to do something or any of the theme parks, they're going to do a new area. There is a plant person that is brought in to help out and make sure that it's as real as possible. And there's always the trees. There's also now the big movement towards water conservation. And so there are irrigation auditors that are just going around wherever they get called, working with the different water municipalities, just going there, looking, and just giving feedback on their irrigation problems or how to repair them. So yes, there's lots of that, but it's a time, the time that I don't have and the time that I'm glad somebody else does, because otherwise many things would be not carried out. But yes, there's freelancing as well as permanent job, as well as part-time jobs and internships.
Great, thank you. Looking at the audience, any questions? We have about 10 minutes left.
What does this mean, biotechnology and agribusiness? I don't know, is it more science in the agriculture?
It depends. So that just lists the different careers, other careers in agriculture. So agribusiness, it's taking business courses and using them in agriculture. So let's take, for example, we are very close to the wholesale produce market, 7th and Olympic. There is a lot of business that is being carried out there. All the retail stores go there and purchase their fruits and vegetables. And so there is a person that needs to be knowledgeable in business as well as in plants and fruits, and be able to sequester and deal with the different farmers to be able to provide the fruits, vegetables to the different markets. So there are components of agriculture and business that you can tie them together and become agribusiness. The other one that you mentioned, genetic engineering came out of horticulture. So the GMOs, all of that work has been done at UC Riverside, not too far from here. And that is changing the plants that are out there. And so if somebody is a lab rat, and they want to be in a lab working with the molecular level and engineering brand new plants, Frankenstein plants as they refer to, that's great for them. But there is a place for somebody who has a very high science background, high chemistry background, very high science behind them. The other thing that folks don't realize is that within the field, our field, chemistry can be very important. Let's take something as simple as the wine industry. Big business wine. Every single barrel of wine needs to be tested chemically for the alcohol and the taste and all that and all that. So they always hire a person who knows about chemistry, but also knows about plants. And it is not uncommon in the news when we have a recall on spinach because there is some kind of E. coli infection. So it is within agriculture that those spinaches get sent to the lab, a lab where a person who has knowledge in microbiology and chemistry to study, figure out what's the problem, and then trace it back to wherever that came from and try to figure out where the contamination occurred. So I want to say, if you have any specific interest, whether it be science, whether it be biology, whether it be botany, whether it be microbiology, you could find a link in agriculture and be able to work here. Because remember, agriculture, the yogurt, meat, beef, chicken, eggs, vegetables, fruit, grains, contamination problems, alcohol. That's all agriculture. And it's linked to everything because, as I said before, history of human is the history of plant cultivation. And we cannot get away from it because that's what got us here.
Thank you. So many different jobs. That's
yes,
great.
Yes.
So can you talk about one of the best trips and one of the worst trips you've ever taken and why? Describe it a little.
One of the best trips that I'm going to say the best trip and the worst trip is 2 years ago, we had the opportunity to go to Cuba. It was a very, very nice trip because we got to travel through the island and see Cuba and see the aftermath of a hurricane and look for plants. So that was very, very nice. We did not find a lot of plants, the passion flower. And the worst part about that trip is that we could not find a rental car. So it took us several days to find a rental car. And because of the political issues, I could not use my credit cards or dollars. And so it's whatever money you had is whatever you had to work with. The trip was great. It's just everything else about it was just a little bit slow. Whereas when I went to Colombia, I reserved everything from here, flight, plane, cars, and got insurance, went around for 2 wonderful weeks in Colombia, no problem. And then returned the car like nothing happened and came back. So when things were like that, where there's no hiccups, it's great. When there's slowdowns that keep you away from watching the place, because now it's days that you are missing or losing, then that's kind of a problem. So I'm gonna say that has been like the major issues. I'm gonna say I'm very lucky, or I've been very fortunate of not really encounter any serious problems in my journeys, even though I visit all these countries. We never encounter any serious issues. We have not encountered any serious infections. So I know a few of our members have gotten like stomach flus. Maybe it's something that they were supposed to, but other than that, we have not experienced anything serious in our trips.
And you usually go with a group. It's not just yourself.
And usually we go to a group and we look for passion flowers. We're not
loitering in areas where we're not supposed to.
Okay. Thank you. Any last questions? Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us.
Can I give an advice to potential students? Just based on my experience, if you are looking for a career, it took me a while to find it. I'm going to recommend that you take the time, because the last thing that you want is to experience what I heard from many coworkers, that they started a career and when they were about to finish, they changed career and now it's, they have to start all over again. I'm going to recommend that you choose something and complete it, because you can always go back and do another thing. But if you never complete anything, it's not going to be good. And I'm going to recommend that you, regardless of what people say, if it's something that you want to do, go for it, but strive to be the best at it. And so that was kind of my case, where if I would have told people, I'm learning about plants, and the first thing I said, so what are you going to do with that when you graduate? Like, I don't know. I don't care about that right now. But I'm going to be the best plantsman that there's going to be. So if you choose to be the mechanic, be the best mechanic, because when you get there, doors will open. If I were to go back in time and tell myself, you're going to be doing this when you are an adult, I would probably say that's impossible, will never happen, no way. In life, I'm going to be visiting places looking for plants. I'm going to be talking to folks. I'm going to be standing in front of a group every single day, talking to them and sharing my knowledge. So that would be one. If you're not sure, community colleges. Again, I teach at a community college. I knew what I did not wanted to be, But all my time in college, I knew I wanted to go to university. And so I knew that by going to trade tech and taking my general eds, I was not wasting time. I just didn't know where it was going to lead me to, but I was not wasting time. So when I finished trade tech with zero debt, very important, then I went to Long Beach. Those units follow me. I completed just a horticulture in Long Beach, finished that, no debt. Those units, then all the units from Long Beach and trade tech transferred to Cal Poly Pomona, where then I finished my bachelor's in horticulture and finished with no debt. So if you're not sure, there are some courses that you will need to take no matter what, basic biology, basic math, and all that, until you find what's going to be the field that you might then enjoy. And make sure that you enjoy it, because I can bring the experience from older adults that are come to me, to my program, who say, I wish I would have found this earlier. And I hate to say that I wish I would have found it earlier. But growing in LA, there is no horticulture there. There is no horticulture field growing in LA. So I had to go out of LA to find it. And also my own ignorance, because when I started looking into possible careers and I read horticulture and it had the word gardener, in my head, I did not want it to go to university to be a Mexican gardener. So that was just my view of things. And at the end of the day, I also say, I have only mown lawns 3 times in my life, mow a lawn. One is when I was like, oh, let me mow this lawn. And I realized I don't like mowing lawns. The second is when I was already teaching and I needed grass clippings for composting. Then I had to mow the lawn to get grass clippings. And that's now I mow lawns for that. So it's not lawn mowing. It's gigantic field. So it's beyond that. And so my own ignorance kept me like a year behind, but I wish I would have started this when I was right out of high school, and did it a little bit later, but I'm glad that I did, because once I found it, there was no looking back, like straight out there. That's where I want to be. And I've been very happy ever since. I've been very happy going to work. I've been very happy working with the students. I've been very happy traveling. I've been very happy looking at plants. And wherever I go, there's plants. If I go into the market, you find me in the produce section. If I walk around the streets, I'm looking at plants. Anywhere I go, there's always things for me to see and record and keep sharing with people.
Thank you. Do you recommend, because it's so big of a career and a focus, do you recommend taking like different topics of classes, or should, like, when you find your focus, focus, but if you're still unsure?
Take several classes and see what that will lead you. So I started with horticulture and I completed that. When I got to Pomona, then my choices became broader. So I took bee science because, ooh, I like bees. And then I wanted to take pollination biology, so pollination. And then I took botany, which also led me to mushrooms and fungi. And then economic botany, which talks about people and plants. And then plant anatomy, physiology, and all the other sciences. They were all very interesting to me because they're, at the end of the day, they were related to plants. So I would say, yes, I would recommend that you take as many courses that you are going to enjoy the topic, because that's going to make it 100 times better for you. And who knows, some of those may lead somewhere, because bee science, now I work with bees. Now I look to preserve and help bees out and make sure, yeah, you don't spray any Otumbo chemicals and plant more flowers for bees and bee health. Plant anatomy, physiology, because I work with plants. So yes, take any course that you say you think would be interesting to you. I would say you take it. The worst thing you can learn is you don't like the topic, then you move on to the next one. But at the end, they're all gonna come together, and you're gonna see that they are linked. And that was my experience. I took classes for fun. And yes, I was able to apply them to my degree. But at the end of the day, my degree was for fun.
Well, that everyone should have degrees for fun, definitely. That's excellent advice. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you.